Okay, Doug, nice of you to join us. Just wanted to very quickly talk about what your first job or how you got involved with the Lotus race team.
Well, I started on the road car side. I went there as a development technician for the road cars from my apprenticeship. So it was rather nice, actually, because I went in and there was about... I went to the service repair department of Lotus, the road cars, and talked to a guy there, and he looked at me and sort of said, well, what exactly do you want? And I told him, well, I just want to work on the cars. So yeah. He said, oh, hang on a minute. And he disappeared into the labyrinth, as it was there. And he came out and he said, follow me. So I went through all these buildings and different offices and stuff, ended up and walked into a room, and there were three guys sat behind a desk and a chair in front, and I had an instant interview. And that is for the road cars. And the catch was, although they offered me the job, more money and everything, you know, it sounded really good. The catch was, we're moving to Norfolk.
Ah.
So I had to join on the basis that I would up stumps and move to Norfolk with them.
So where were you living at that point?
I was living in Waltham Cross in Chesson, near Chesson, which is where the second part of Lotus was developed, really.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into the race team from that?
Well, I was working I suppose it was near afternoon, evening, and one of the guys in charge, Derek Sleeth, I think was the guy, stuck his head around, wasn't Derek Sleeth. Anyway, I'll get that name right later. Stuck his head around a door and sort of said, look, we've got a car coming back from filming. Can you repair it? And it has to go back in the morning. So I said, yes, okay, I'll do that. So the car appeared on the back of a low loader. We undid it, and what they'd done is they'd been jumping over a bridge for an opening sequence sort of filming, and they'd smashed the rear suspension. Actually, what had happened, one of the wishbone hookups had come away from the chassis underneath. They hit the ground quite hard several times, you know.
Right.
So I jacked it up, and I started repairing it, but I was trying to repair it with a gas axe instead of a welding torch, because we'd only just moved there and we had very little equipment at all. I had a big empty workshop. It was a bit like a clinic in there, all white walls and clean grey floor and a bench, and that was it, really.
Right.
Anyway, I did my best, and I was making... What was happening, I don't know if you've ever welded with gas, but if you get the nozzle too hot, it backfires and it pre-ignites the gas, and it sounds like a machine gun going off when it goes. anyway, this obviously alerted other people in the building. And around about sort of 9 o'clock at night, I was leaning on the car, quite wondering what to do next. And I heard a voice behind me. So I said, are we having problems welding? And I nearly jumped over the car because I thought I was the only bloke in the building. Anyway, the upshot of it was, this was after the virtual. And Arthur had sort of said, you know, do you want a hand? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll go for that. So he got underneath and welded it up like nothing happened. You know, I was amazed. Anyway. That was the end of that. We loaded it onto the truck. I took him for a beer because we had a clubhouse that was still open at 10 o'clock at night at that time. And I said, what do you do? And he said, oh, it's the first time I heard the expression. If I told you that, I'd have to kill you, you know. So anyway, a bit later on, we had a drink and everything was really good. And then I said goodbye and thanks very much. And that was that. Literally about a week later, he walked into the workshop and he said, have you got a minute? So I said, oh, okay. Well, developments where I was right next door to Team Lotus, although I had this one-way door. They could come out, but we couldn't go in.
Oh, right.
So anyway, I went in this door this time, and who was there but Dick Scammell, and Arthur introduced me to Dick, who I didn't know who he was at the time. And Dick said, can you make this? And he gave me a drawing, and it was just a teardrop bracket sort of thing, you know. So I said, yeah, I could do that. He said, okay, make me one of those. So I said, well, can I take it next door because all my kit's there? He said, yeah. So off I went, and I made this fabulous bracket. And I'm thinking, this is handy. Bit of weekend work here, you know, knocking up a few brackets.
Absolutely.
For them. And money in the pocket, lovely, okay. So I took it back, put it on the bench, all polished beautifully, better than any bracket I've ever made before. And he looked at that and he said, okay. And he got another piece of metal, not very nice, put it next to it and said, can you nickel bronze those two together? Well, I'd heard of nickel bronzing because it was a word that had come from next door. But to be quite honest, there was an art in it, which I didn't really have. So I brazed it effectively, really. That was just brazing, which was totally different. Anyway, the upshot of it was he looked at that and said, well, that's absolute rubbish, but don't worry about it. We can teach you that. When can you start? I really, really didn't know. I was that naive. I hadn't realised that was a...
It was a job interview.
It was a job interview, absolutely, yeah. So the next thing I knew, I said, well, they don't know where I am. He said, don't worry about that. I can take care of that. Now, there'd been a memo going around not to poach people between departments, which had been going on.
Oh.
And they were getting quite angry about that. But this was Team Lotus. And
then
So that was it. So the next thing I knew, I was there.
So when would that have been, Doug?
Sorry?
When would that have been?
That was 1967, end of 1967.
Okay.
So, right. And then what Arthur was working on, which he couldn't tell me about, was the four-wheel drive gas turbine for Indy.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
56. When I saw that.
Yeah. Lovely.
And that was cool.
So that was your first race car?
That was my first race car,
The 56. Wow. Didn't even do an F3 or an F2 or anything.
No, slow introduction there. No, straight to the deep end.
I was going to say that, absolutely.
Well, Arthur was really good. I mean, Arthur was kind of, he was looking, I was with Arthur on the second car.
Right.
So the first car was going to be Jimmy Clark's.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, that all went wrong. They went off to, when we built the first turbines, Arthur and I forget who went with him, actually. One of the other guys must have gone with him. It might have been Huey Abson, right. Something like that. They went off to Trenton, New Jersey to try the car out.
Yeah.
And they flew it over and tried it and then brought it back. And it all seemed okay. And we were pressing ahead with the update. Of course, the needless three or four pages of false gap of modifications of what you're doing.
Of course.
So we were pressing on with that. And then of course, unfortunately, Jimmy got killed.
Yeah.
And that put the cat among the pigeons completely. And I didn't know at that time quite how serious that was, because it just stopped. Everything stopped. You know, everything stopped. Just absolutely. And then it picked up again, because obviously Lotus had contracts they couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
SCP, you know. So we went ahead and we built the two cars. Graham was driving the other one. And that was the one that Arthur and I were running.
And that's the one that should have won.
Well, we could, yeah.
yeah.
If only. There's a lot of if onlys, you know.
That's right.
There's a lot of if onlys.
Yeah. Okay, Doug, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you for that. I'm just going to stop.